Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know them from the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Kurt Doggy.
Ken, great radio voice.
Or the morning show before that.
Curtis and Ken, I love those guys very much.
And this stooge.
And you definitely hate one of them.
You spoiled rich kids, Curtis.
At least.
Ken is a wet mop.
It's the Ken and Curtis Show. On Sports Radio WEEI.
Good weekend.
Good or a bad week for Belichick, Curtis? I'm coming right out hot with a poll question. Good or a bad week for Belichick this week? Because Mac Jones looked great. Bill drafted him, quote unquote drafted him.
But your whole point is that Kraft picked him.
I know. But that'll be tagged that for, you know, in all history, that's going to be credited to Bill. Bill got the next guy. At least if you're a Bill Honk, it will be.
Oh, definitely. And if they redid the draft today, I still believe Trevor Lawrence goes number one, even though they lost to the Texans. I don't know if Urban Meyer will last the season, but that's a separate conversation. But I believe the next quarterback that they would take if the draft was today would be Mac Jones.
I mean, he definitely had the best week one of all the rookies. It's early.
But all the stuff that he's shown off the field is everything that you sort of wonder about. You watch film, you talk to coaches, you can investigate guys all you want, but you still end up with a Ryan Leaf, a Jamarcus Russell, a David Carr, whatever.
Right.
You still have these Bradfords, the busts. The stuff that
Bob Bradford?
Yeah. I mean, he's not a bust. That book, Joe Kelly describes his favorite ice cream cones. But you have the off-field ability to sort of present in the Patriots way.
He's obsessed. He's a freak. He's like Brady. He is showing Brady signs. You got to admit, Curtis.
Everything he's done since he's gotten here, whether it was praising Cam, working with Cam in what had to be an awkward room in the quarterback room there where you both are vying for this position, that aura probably was very scary that Cam exudes.
Yep.
And you have a guy that today is the quarterback of the team, obviously has the trust of his teammates, has the trust of his coaching staff, and says everything. It's like he was created in a lab, how he sounds when he talks about playing for Bill.
Right. And he came out of Saban's womb, so to speak. That's an odd thing to say. He came from Saban, who was Belichick tree guy, a Belichick tree disciple.
Right.
So Bill sort of groomed Mac even before he got here, if you want to say that.
Right. The issue, and we'll get to this when we talk about the barren Belichick coaching tree, is that people use Saban as an example of it being successful. Well, the whole point is in the NFL. I mean, that you can't compare what people do in college to the NFL.
Why? You can. It's still.
Did Bill recruit? None of the things that created the absolute unstoppable juggernaut that is the Alabama football team.
Well, it's beyond recruiting. I mean, you would admit Saban's a pretty good coach.
Of course. Right. And I think Belichick's a great defensive coach. Yeah. I mean, he's the greatest.
Didn't show up in week one. We'll get to that in a second.
Right. I mean, but you can't, in my, two things. Vrabel is not a member of the coaching tree. He was a player. He started with Pittsburgh, ended with the Chiefs. He's not like a guy that was on the coaching staff here.
Oh, so this went up your keister yesterday when Charlie Weiss threw Vrabel and Saban
right
in with Bill's coaching tree.
You know who belongs in that conversation? Bill Belichick. Because Bill Belichick without Brady is basically what we compare when all these people leave town. It's a different team now than he had with Brady. And just
what?
Like... it's a different team now.
Wait a minute. So Bill's on Bill's own tree.
Right. Belichick would be a defensive coordinator if it wasn't for Tom Brady. Right. I mean, I don't even know now.
Curtis will ask Bill that question Monday on the Greg Hill Show.
Yes. Where would you be if Tom Brady was never birthed? But I would be much sadder. But the situation here, though, is that it's of course you have to look at Belichick as a guy without Brady. And like Nick Saban in the NFL, he's under 500 with the Patriots as a head coach without Tom Brady.
You also didn't like one of the things that Curtis didn't like this week. Tom E. Curran suggesting that the Patriots system traveled with Brady to Tampa. And that's what deserves credit for Super Bowl number 7 for Tommy Boy.
What was the conversation last year when we talked and through to the latest episode of Tommy and Gronky, that they were doing everything they didn't do here in Florida? It was Florida Tom. He was walking into strangers' homes uninvited.
And that wasn't that on display at this week's Tommy and Gronky more than ever.
Oh,
that's Brady just flaunting it. I can do this now and talk about playing until 50 when you wouldn't let me do anything there.
It's a gigantic double bird to the Patriots.
But back to Mac Jones, it's corny, but he is doing all the right things. The football thing on the field, not taking his first football as a piece of celebratory artifact for the future or whatever. Like that is a great sign from him. If you're a Patriots fan, you're eating that up.
Of course.
And there's Bill's eating it up.
Nothing not to like about Mac Jones. And it will be credited to Bill, and it looks like a steal of a pick that may give him his second run here to get past Shula. He might have found the most important piece.
And if the defense plays well, they are better off with Mac than they would have been if Brady had stayed. As we've talked about for months. There's not even an argument to that. But here's the pushback, even from me, on the week of Belichick. The loss is on him, right? Week one loss, that's a terrible loss. That is a horrible loss at home to Miami, who you're fighting for a playoff spot for. If you don't care about the quarterback, if you care about the team winning, running back fatigue, depth is a major issue. Bill trades Sony Michel before the year begins for what could be at best a fourth-round pick, right?
Right, conditional pick.
In favor of the rookie, Ramondre Stevenson, who was totally not ready. They were fooled by his preseason performance. He gets out there, fumbles, gets blown up in a pass-protecting assignment, doesn't see the field the rest of the game. And then on the 40th snap that Damian Harris sees, he fumbles.
Right.
Opening drive, Dolphins go right down the field. Bills D's not ready. They come right down and carve you up.
Second half, first drive, down the field.
Right. Late game, you needed a stop, couldn't get it. Gilmore's absence felt big time.
And I think, I'm as much to blame because we're on the Greg Hill Show, and we didn't really hammer this week. Greg was man of the year. We talked about that at length.
What a plaque he got last night. It was too big.
God. It was like Dwight Schrute was handing it to him.
It made Greg's hands look big.
What was the, like, did he have a, what is it called? A corsage?
Yeah.
Anyway, look great, Greg. Congratulations. The fact that the Patriots, so Damian Harris, clearly everybody that has a brain sees that he fumbles and he's the reason they lost the game, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Makes sense. You cannot fumble that ball. But the ease with which the Dolphins, who suffered a first down penalty, half the distance to the goal, first and 14 at their 5-yard line, with Tua at quarterback, who is a guy that has not been, great shakes over his first 2 years in the NFL. And it was like precision, right? Three
right.
plays.
They made Tua look clutch.
It was all you needed was a 3 and out there. And is there any doubt in your mind that Mac would have given them an opportunity to win that game? But the defense failed. And the defense...
Well, the corners failed. I mean, because you put Devontae Parker and it was Jalen Mills, right? Mills led up that 13-yard pass, first and 14 from the 5, and your free agent signee, Mills, not good enough.
Right.
And if Gilmore's out there, totally different still. Maybe, I don't know, Parker shredded Gilmore a couple years ago.
But could you say that the Dolphins' decision to give their star cornerback the money and the Patriots' decision to not give it to theirs...
Yeah.
Was maybe the difference in the game.
Yeah, that's a great point. What did they give Xavien Howard?
I don't know the total
cash. You didn't see
him
the whole game because they didn't throw his way at all.
Right, but he got the fumble, and he was... Jalen Mills wouldn't have been in that position to fail, Ken, had Gilmore been on the field. And you can't tell me that there's guys in that locker room that's like, why? He's healthy, right? Do you believe that he can't play?
I don't know. He's got something. But, he said, didn't he hint that if he needed to play, he could go out there and play?
I mean, his wife is basically live tweeting the game. I don't know. I think that that...
Now, how old's Gilmore? He's 30, right?
I mean...
Because it's a little different than Howard. Howard's 28. It's not that big a difference, but it's a difference. So if you're going to give a guy... So Xavien Howard signed a 5-year, $75 million extension in 2019. Okay?
Okay, and then he got paid again this fall to show up, right?
What did he get paid? They restructured his deal. He got $12 million in 2022 guaranteed for injury, and he'll be fully guaranteed. Yeah, so they restructured his deal.
Right, and that's what got – he was not around. He was sitting out. He was, in fact, pretty much killing – I think he was criticizing Flores from afar. He wasn't showing up to camp. They got wise to it and gave him the money, and he's on the field.
Not a lot of money, though. They gave him like $1 million in Pro Bowl incentives, $2.5 million in additional incentives in 2021.
But we always talk about last year – that they gave Gilmore money last year, that wasn't new money.
No.
That was money already on the books that they just sort of turned into a guarantee for last season.
But they guaranteed it, basically. So they did give him some new money, right? Like, in case he got injured and they would have cut him.
Okay, do you think they were going to cut the reigning defensive player of the year?
If he was hurt.
I don't. I'm sure it's a pretty big cap penalty had they done that last year.
Oh, yeah. Well, in that case, maybe you have to pay him if he's on injured reserve or whatever. But right. I mean.
Do you think Gilmore's asking for $50 million?
Boy, I don't know what he's asking for. I really have no idea.
Ty will probably tell us Tuesday because he's basically the go-between.
I know. Ty Law, great appearance by Ty Law. But he is Gilmore's agent, basically. You got to pay this guy, and he looks right. I mean, after week one, if they have Gilmore, if they have Sony Michel, they win that game.
Right.
Is there any doubt about that?
No.
So the loss is on Bill. But the whole point is, Mac Jones looks so good, that's all anybody really cared about. And I can't blame you if that's all you really cared about week one.
Well, that's what you were yelling at me about.
Yeah.
And it's true. I said that. And it's but once you're in a game, I mean, BC plays Clemson a couple years ago. I'm watching it just to see the game. And then all of a sudden, they're up 3 touchdowns. And I'm like, holy crap, we're going to win this game. So when they lose, you're pissed. At the end of that, I was pissed.
Didn't Grossell come into that game?
Well,
that was last year.
Yeah, I don't know who played in the game. But all I know is that it was a game that I was mildly invested in,
yeah.
Waiting for it to be a blowout to go outside. And then I was captivated by it, and I was pissed at the end. And so I was surprised pleasantly at the performance of Mac Jones. And then if you're going to be a contender this year, is there any doubt that you're going to go back and look at that game as to why you, A, need to win one more to get in the playoffs, or B, you lose a tiebreaker and you miss it?
No, not at all.
That's why
I said going in, it's the game of the year.
You were right.
And they lost the game. They get lost the game of the year. So the question is, Michael Irvin dubbed it this. He said that game is a lose-win.
Who said this?
Michael Irvin on the Gresh and Keefe show.
Right.
So it's not a moral victory. It's a lose-win.
Which one's Irvin or which one's Gresh when he's on the line.
But he's kind of right. So my question to you is, do you feel that way here? We're like a week out. Jets tomorrow. Everybody feels like they should roll this Jets team. I'm not going to be here to argue that. I mean, they lost Mekhi Becton on top of it. So this, I mean, unless Wilson shreds their secondary, I guess, could happen.
This is a game, though. I mean, I remember back to 2008. The Patriots won week one, the Chiefs game, when Brady got hurt. And then Castle went into Meadowlands. And it was, like, electric in there because they were salivating in New York that, Brady's gone, we have a shot. And the Patriots had this phenomenal game plan. They won, like, 22-10 or something. But you have – this is the Jets Super Bowl right now. You have a brand-new head coach. You have a young GM.
Mm-hmm.
You have your second pick overall in the draft. The Jets, the last thing that organization wants is Belichick and his new QB to walk into their backyard as a rookie – and beat them and Zach Wilson and embarrass them. So whatever they have, I think the Patriots are going to win, but the Jets are going to throw everything they have at the Patriots in this game.
I mean, great, but if you got nothing to throw at somebody, then what the hell's the difference?
Did the Dolphins look like a really talented squad?
No, but the first three quarters of the Jets game, they had 9 drives, and they had like 80 total yards. They were embarrassingly bad.
Totally.
Wilson threw a couple passes late. Although, the one thing I'm worried about, and from a Patriots point of view, they spent big money on a receiver, Corey Davis. 3 years and whatever, $40 million, something like that. Patriots went kind of cheap. They went to second-tier receivers.
Right.
With Aguilar and
Bourne.
And Bourne, who looked pretty good week one.
Right.
But Davis looked good. He's the only guy in the Jets in that game that you looked at him and you thought, wow, okay, this guy can get open. He's fast.
The Jets game was like, I don't know how people are Jets fans. It's got to be the most depressing existence. You're watching your old quarterback and your old receiver connect on passes they never did when they were on the same team.
Is it like being a Red Sox fan before 04?
No, because the Red Sox were always relatively close. I mean, their heartbreaking losses came in the ALCS or the World Series or in a one-game playoff or whatever. The Jets, if the Jets played in Cincinnati, nobody would care about them. The Jets and the Knicks get the most undeserved media attention because they play in New York. They're both basically irrelevant. They've never won anything. The Jets haven't won something since Joe Namath. Knicks haven't won in like 40 years.
But they went out and got Corey Davis, 3 years, $38 million. Kendrick Bourne, 3 years, $15 million for the Pats. Aguilar, 2 for $22 million. So, I mean, Aguilar, I guess, per year is making $11 million. So, what he's kind of in Corey Davis territory. So, Aguilar's got to be good for you.
Right.
Now, Ty Law mocked the Patriots receivers this week. I thought that was pretty interesting.
But my guess is that's how it – I mean, I think Ty is a guy that talks to – he was telling me he still communicates with a bunch of the guys like Lawyer and other people. And that's – the player's view of the Patriots is that they still did not do enough to bring in talent around the quarterback.
They look at the Patriots' weapons and don't take them seriously.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, he could be proven right on that. So what I all of this goes into the, just a general question. Patriots week one, 1 week later, is it like Michael Irvin described it, a lose win? Do you feel good about this team? 617-779-7937. Are they a contender? Are they in the mix? Like, do you really expect 17 weeks later this is going to be, you know, an 11-win Patriots team, something like that? Or are there concerns? I mean, Bill doesn't look great, but the quarterback makes him look good enough that he's going to hang around. He talks for 10 minutes yesterday about the long snapper. Volan asked him a question about the long snapper. Of course, it had to be Volan.
I mean, unbelievable. I mean, the guy, he can't win, though. Like, so he asks a totally random, innocuous question about a long snapper, and everybody hates him because Bill went on for 10 minutes. But if he had asked about Brady, everybody would have hated him, too. But I was the backup. Kotsen was our primary long snapper.
Oh, Kotsen,
I was the backup long snapper.
At Rivers.
Yes. And so I did a couple, I think I snapped like 3 times on a field goal. One was a fake, nailed it.
You were the next Diossi. I remember that
the
call.
The key guy, and that was Diossi.
Yeah, I mean, I have a signed poster of him above my bed.
Diossi's got to be busting. He's in tomorrow for the real postgame show.
I'm going to play this whole thing for him tomorrow.
I mean, we should play. I mean, I thought about it. We should just play that under a whole segment. I mean, it can't. Our ratings can't get lower, so at this point, we might as well just play Bill underneath us.
I think we should do it in the third inning and just shock Castig with it.
All right, to the phones we go. It's Ken and Curtis here on WEEI. Ratings are good, by the way. Just a joke. Mike in Falmouth.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Mike.
I just want to talk about how I think we're going to overreact every week, you know, and we should because the state of the franchise. But I think the AFC East is wide open right now. I think the Bills are going to come back down to earth a little bit. Josh Allen was everyone's sweetheart this offseason, but there's a lot of statistics out there that say that not many people have ever made the statistical jump that he made last year, and all the passing numbers were up. If he comes back down to earth a little bit, I think the AFC is wide open. The Patriots are absolutely a contender. I think the Dolphins are a better team than people think they are. They were 6-3 under Tua last year. Now they're 7-3 under Tua as a starter, and I think people need to start giving them more credit.
Weren't there a couple games last year where they won where he started, but Fitzpatrick came in to win the game, basically?
Yeah, well, the thing about that is, if the Patriots don't fumble the ball, the last thing you remember about Tua is that horrible interception.
Right.
The John Jones pick should have been the play of the game, which Judon totally drills Tua. That was an incredible hit. Incredible hit. And he just chucks it up there. So, I mean, I hear you. Like, Tua's not terrible.
But he's not. I mean, you watch him play, he is not a guy that's going to win a Super Bowl. And that's clear, and that's how the Dolphins.
He's Flacco, and he's good enough that he could win one if there's a great team around him.
Flacco had a freaking cannon. I mean, he was injury. I mean, not injury prone, but mistake prone. But that Flacco run is such an outlier in the history of football.
It was incredible,
like the Eli. You know that
but
that
a great defense. I mean, obviously.
Great defense, and Flacco's postseason running. They had 14 touchdowns, no picks,
deep balls all over the place.
But their biggest offensive play was pass interference. He'd just chuck it, and one of his guys would get hit, and they get the PI. But I think that I was wondering this past offseason, looking at the Dolphins doing such a public courtship of a guy in Deshaun Watson. Forget about Tua. Deshaun's got a lot of baggage right now that you would be surprised to see teams so publicly courting him. But to do that while you have, what is he, like the fifth pick last year in Tua? I mean, a guy that you took ahead of Justin Herbert, which is a clear, clear mistake by the Dolphins.
Yeah, it is interesting they were flirting with Watson. That doesn't speak well of their love. Yeah, Tua was fifth pick, Herbert sixth, correct.
So, I mean.
Burrow, Chase Young, the Lions took Jeffrey Okuda.
Oh, my God.
Giants took Andrew Thomas to tackle, and then Tua and Herbert. So
I mean, there's never going to be a worse draft day trade than the Bears trading up like 5 first round picks to get Mitchell Trubisky, while Mahomes goes 10 or 11. Unbelievable.
You're right about that. That's one of the new lows of lows. So the Bills lose to the Steelers. So that does set up tomorrow. Bills at the Dolphins is a giant game.
I think Bills
That's a big game.
Bills big.
You
big
really
game.
You think they roll them in Miami?
Yep. The Bills, I mean.
And then the Bills have in week 5 at Kansas City and in week 6 Monday night at Tennessee. So the caller could be right. I mean, maybe the division's more open than you think.
But there's not a game on the schedule where I look at the Dolphins and say they're going to win. You know what I mean? Like that's not a team that you're. The Bills are going to win the division. I'm not concerned about that at all. Josh, that game was a ugly, playoff style defensive battle with the Bills and the Steelers. TJ Watt was sensational. The Steelers defense was awesome. I think it's tough. I mean, I don't know if the Bills were one of those teams that benched a lot of their guys throughout the preseason, but either way, you had a whole offseason where every Bill was basically celebrated like a champion up there, even though they didn't even make it to the Super Bowl. So I think that was a good sort of come back down to earth game for them. But I don't think that they will be in jeopardy in their win of the division this year.
All right, your feelings on the Pats after a week. 617-779-7937. Jets tomorrow, and then, of course, Brady is coming soon. 3 weeks away? 3 weeks away. Brady chatting
tickets,
up.
Tickets keep dropping in price for week four.
Is that Patriots related?
Absolutely.
Like, so it's not like Brady, people are tired of Brady. They're just tired. They're just.
I mean, you look at the week one ratings, the Patriots game did a 33, the Bucks game did a 22. I mean, wait a minute.
So you think if the Patriots had won and they're 1-0,
yes,
tickets don't drop?
No. I think there is a pause to invest, not watch. The TV rating was great that Sunday, last Sunday at 425. That was about on average, a couple points lower than the average with Brady here.
But way up from last year, obviously.
But way up from last year. But the box office is not being hit as hard because people are, you know, show me, what are you going to be this year? I'll wait to invest. It's insane to me that people spend $1,200 on tickets anyway when you can get the nicest TV on the market,
yeah,
sit in a nice chair and not have to pay $15 for a beer. But
and you sold your tickets.
My dad did, yeah.
Wow. So that says it all.
He couldn't even get asked. He couldn't even get face.
I mean, did you want to go? Did you try to convince him, like,
no,
don't,
I don't
sell the tickets?
Honestly, not to be a downer, but going to games sober hasn't been quite as fun.
Are you serious?
Yeah, totally.
It's not fun sober.
Well, because you're around all these drunken people like used to be, and it's kind of a pain in the ass. Curtis, why'd you say you hate Bill? Oh, by the way, one thing on Brady that hit me yesterday. I love this. The same caller will call into a radio show this morning, and they will say, Curtis, stop talking about Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Pause. Don't you think Mac looks like Brady?
Yeah, but Mac does. But it's not talking about Brady. It's just
how is Mac, that not talking about Brady?
Well, it's talking about him just only to say we replaced him.
Right. They don't want to talk about Brady being good because that makes their team look bad. But they want to say that their quarterback looks like the guy they don't want to talk about anymore.
In fact, Charlie Weiss, two things from Charlie Weiss, if you missed that interview, that need to be addressed next. One is Weiss comparing Brady to Mac. And two is your question to him, which you thought was going to put him in a corner, about the Belichick coaching tree.
I don't think there's any corner I could put Weiss into.
And then he gave you an answer you didn't like.
Right.
For two reasons. So we'll get to that coming up. And obviously the Red Sox, with a big win last night, it's the Orioles, but still, they needed the win. And things are looking okay in that department. Let's get that detail here in trending now.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back to more of the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
What you're trying to do is compare all these guys that leave Belichick to Belichick. And you're talking about the greatest of all time. There's been a lot of good coaches that have come from Belichick. You have to include Brian Flores. You have to include Vrabel. You know, there's a lot of other people. You know, a lot of other people that are out there. You know, hell, you know, Nick Saban worked under Belichick, if we call correctly. You know, how's that worked out?
That's true, Curtis. That's Charlie Weiss in the Greg Hill Morning Show. This is Ken and Curtis here on Sports Radio WEI. You won't give Belichick credit for Saban on the coaching tree?
No. He failed. He was 15-17 with the Dolphins.
Oh, God. A two-year sample. He was 9-7 one year. It's pretty good for the Dolphins.
Yeah, he chose Byron Leftwich. Who was the quarterback he chose over Drew Brees? I'll never remember. Anyway, he could have had Drew Brees. He didn't get Drew Brees, and that's why he left. But do you think if he thought he was about to turn it around, he would have left?
Okay. I mean, has he done anything since?
Well, but it's not the pros. We're talking about Brian Flores, Joe Judge, Josh McDaniels, Billy O'Brien, Romeo Crennel, up and down the list. Matt Patricia, total failure.
What do you think Bill's going to be like here in the next couple of years? Do you think, is he invested? Is he as
is he Foxborough forever? No, he'll be on Nantucket.
He's going to stay to pass Shula, don't you think? Especially now that they found Mac.
Yes, but I don't know how difficult Robert and or Jonathan, and if Jonathan is taking more control, I have no idea. It's going to be the patience is not going to quite be there.
Foxborough forever.
But if they go 5-12 this year, he's not getting fired. That was like a stupid narrative in the offseason. They're not firing Bill.
No, but
especially
then,
with Mac, and Mac will look good, and this will be your nightmare scenario. You were so stupid to have said this. Curtis said this before the year began. Curtis said this season's all about Mac Jones' development. Doesn't matter what the record is. And then you're dying to rip the Patriots from losing week one. In fact, you started to, and you can't now. The whole year, you cannot criticize them.
The most important thing to any franchise in the NFL is what?
Well, ultimately wins and losses. The championships.
What is the position in person that is most responsible for wins and losses?
Quarterback, as we know.
Okay. So if Mac can be a great quarterback, then you're going to be in good shape.
Okay, I mean, I agree. I think most people agree with that.
Right. But I'm not saying fire Bill today. I'm saying if they're 5-12 with a good quarterback, then you need to ask, why are we losing 12 games?
Yeah, but they won't fire. They might ask that, but they won't fire Bill after this year.
Exactly. And then next year, it's going to be tougher.
It would have to be a two-year tragedy.
But you cannot underestimate, I don't care what everybody says, Robert Kraft was presented with an option and he chose Bill Belichick. He is still looking at Tom Brady and seeing all those eyeballs, seeing all that revenue, seeing all that success.
Right, which is why he made Bill take this quarterback. Okay. Great job by Kraft, who you tried to rip for not spending money. This guy is one of the greatest owners ever in pro sports history. You called him cheap last week. Another new low on the Curtis train.
He did not maximize financially the run with Tom Brady.
He didn't maximize Brady. They won 6 Super Bowls, and he didn't maximize Brady.
Brady flew to Tampa without a preseason with a boob for a head coach and won a Super Bowl. honest to God.
I think Arians is a good coach, up and comer.
You mocked him relentlessly before Brady went there. You mocked, you're like, Tom went to Tampa? Oh, no, Curtis, everybody was going to be interested. You had weeks of mocking him.
It was not because the team was bad. Oh. It was mockery because he turned down here to play for just a random team. It was just sad. It was sad.
I honestly think that they should make, in order to make the NFL fair, every year Brady goes to a new team. It's like designated quarterback when you're playing in the backyard.
By the way, texture, we had mentioned Nick Wright in passing because Volan had asked Bill that question and got all the kind of praise from Nick Wright. So texter asks, why don't you guys have Nick Wright on the show anymore? 908 texter. Good observation. You've tried.
He is no longer, he's too big for us. He doesn't get back to me.
Is he sensitive because his Chiefs have been, the last time he's come on, the topic du jour, criticism of their behavior. Britt Reed, I don't think he wants to touch and be pressed on that in the Andy Reid situation.
That's true.
He's a total Chiefs honk.
He is an embarrassment on that network. He's very opinionated. He was great. He's a great sports radio guest. I wish he would come back on. I'll keep trying. But the Chiefs situation, it ceases to amaze me. Maybe this is something I'm only interested in, so don't worry about it. I won't do much on this. But Britt Reed left the Chiefs facility and ruined a girl's life, I think 4 or 5 years old, nearly killed her.
Horrible.
And
any update on her current condition?
I believe she's okay. She's alive. She's stable, but her rest of her life will be severely impacted by the crash.
Ugh.
And if I hate even doing this to Patriots, I'll just say the Steelers, okay? Let's say
Ariel Young, the 5-year-old.
Yeah. Let's say the Steelers, one of the Roonies, is leaving the facility and has the same thing happen. It's a national story. You're following it from the beginning until the end. And there's not a single I Google searched this last week. There hadn't been an updated story in 2 months. Oops. Until last week when they set the trial date for
it's April, I think.
April. But, the fact that he's even still there coaching, I think.
Andy Reid?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that is a bad look. You had your son nearly kill a girl leaving your workplace because, like a lot of people, this is now you make fun of Brady in Tampa. It's like summer camp for the nepotism. I mean, the week one game, right?
Summer camp for nepotism.
You have Chris Sims.
It's gonna be your autobiography.
You have Jack Bill Collinsworth, whatever his name is, and then you have Hocules kid calling the game.
Yeah, that is weird. Yeah. Jack Collinsworth.
I mean, it's Jack Collinsworth, like, randomly showed up on NFL Sunday. I had never seen him before.
It is weird, but the Chiefs got on the field. My God, they like were terrible, but you know they're coming back. They score so quick and so easy. It is ridiculous.
Yeah,
like this Patriots team cannot compete with that. I mean, there's no way, right? Maybe if Bill controls it and
for a half though, that game plan in 2018 AFC Championship was pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, and even last year, I guess they had a chance in the fourth quarter. All right, to the phones we go. Before I will play that other Charlie Weiss quote in a second here, but here's Bob in New Hampshire on the division. I think. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Bob. Hey, you guys doing a great show. I love you guys. I listen all week long. Just a couple comments. That's all. I got nobody to talk football with here at home. So last week, yeah, I know, huh? Yeah, last week's game, it was in the bag. I mean, that Damian Harris fumble at the 8-yard line killed him. I think the next play would have been a touchdown pass from Mac, and that would have really done a lot for him. Like I said last week when I called, if you looked at his face on the sideline, he knew he had that game, and you know he said all the right things in the press conference. But I know that fumble killed him.
Yeah.
And yeah, it really did. And I think the defense let him down a little bit. It's supposed to be what, a top 10, top 5 defense.
Yep.
I think they let him down. I don't know if Stephon Gilmore is the answer. I really don't. But I know the defense let him down, and you know the offensive line, they had their penalties. You know, it's one step forward, two steps back. Mac did not play the game to lose. I think they should win this weekend. It is races in a quarter.
Can't use that foul language, Bob. God, watch the potty mouth. Bob was going good, and then he had dropped S-Box car on us. Just threw it in there.
Not a bad analogy, though.
Yeah, well, he was talking about the Dolphins. He said basically they're not flashy, right, but they get the job done. They kind of do. And Jacoby Brissett, a major weapon on the quarterback sneak, is like unstoppable.
Even their, like... Is it still Chan Gailey? Who's their offensive coordinator?
No, it's George somebody.
Oh,
because Bill was talking
bizarre about that play calling before halftime last week.
Oh my God,
totally bizarre.
That was embarrassing. Yeah, if the Patriots win that game, can you imagine how the narrative shifts?
Oh, totally.
People are embarrassing the Dolphins for that end of the half, and then Tua gets totally crushed for it. That interception was gross. You know, he chucks it up there. John Jones pick. Ah, what a swing that Damian Harris fumble is.
But in a way, the loss revealed a lot of things about Mac that we wouldn't have learned so quickly. Like, it's easy to be the way Mac was if you win the game. Because it's like, we're running, you know, you can be, take pride in the victory, you don't need to gloat. But the fact that they lost and Damian Harris had the fumble, he was getting killed. All of that this week has just been handled perfectly.
Yeah, Mac's been good. Now here's, speaking of Mac, here's Charlie Weiss. Want to play this Charlie Weiss cut about comparing Mac and Brady. You don't like these comparisons, I'm sure. But they're going to happen all year.
I just find it funny that people constantly tell me to stop talking about Tom Brady, but they can't wait falling over each other to call in to talk about how Mac reminds them of Tom Brady.
Other than getting hit too much, which is partly the line's fault, partly Mac's fault. He took, 9 hits in the game?
Other than the first play of the game.
And the first play of the game. And the throw on third and four. Or whatever.
Do you think Robert like chucked something in the suite when that happened?
Don't you think he looks like Brady?
Early Brady? I said on Monday he looked better than early Brady. Brady in his first year in 2001 was not like it was a lot of J.R. Redmond out of the backfield, Kevin Falk. I mean, and they had a lot of very talented players that we just didn't know about. Troy Brown obviously was talented, best receiver he had, but. The offense and the performance of Mac so quickly was incredibly surprising to me.
And here's what Weiss said. Charlie Weiss saying just what you did, that right now he's ahead of where Brady was.
Well, we took it. There was a different strategy when Tommy started playing because we were loaded on defense. So the way we played at that time, at least when Tommy first started the year, was very conservative. You know, we were dinking and dunking. Everyone was saying, well, the guy can't throw the ball down the field because we weren't throwing the ball down the field. Obviously, the Patriots now are doing a lot more, you know, of exposing Mac to everything than we did with Tommy at the start of the year. Now, by the end of the year, the guy's running 2 minutes to win the Super Bowl. So, obviously, we went a long way from when he first went in there. But Mac slash the Patriots are ahead of the curve as far as all the stuff they're doing with him already in games, where it probably took us about half the season before we got to there with Tom.
Now, if he's right, they are a Super Bowl contender. They obviously won the Super Bowl with Brady that year.
Right.
Now, this defense is not that defense. I think we can say that safely at the moment. But if they get Gilmore back, big if, and they turn into that, like, you know, if the front seven takes it up a notch, Rodney Harrison ripped the front seven this week. That was also interesting to hear that.
Yeah.
Maybe we can play that clip next. But they're, if you believe Weiss, they're a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's a little bit too much for me right now. But I'm looking back. This is Brady's first start, and this is totally unfair. It's comparing the greatest of all time to a guy in his first NFL start. But this is Brady's first start against the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. I mean, against the Colts, September 30th, 2001. He went 13 for 23, 168 yards, no interceptions. They beat Peyton Manning, who played like Peyton usually did against the Patriots early on, 20 of 34, 200 yards, one touchdown, but three interceptions, one of which was returned for a touchdown by Otis Smith that I saw Tom Curran tweet out yesterday. So
they're like having that old box guy.
That's Miami. Yeah, not this Patriots.
So
game.
I mean that.
But
was,
then they lost to the Dolphins the week after that.
Right, that was a bad game. And then I believe the sort of turning point was they lost
the overtime win. They won an overtime game against the Chargers.
Right. That was a comeback. They were down 10 points in the fourth quarter. Half the stadium, people won't want to say this, was rooting for Doug Flutie and the San Diego Chargers. I was at that game with Brian and Stephen Belichick, went up to the suite back when the family loved me. And
they thought you were a long snapping prospect.
Right. I mean, I was. I mean, I got a couple calls from Bentley, but the real sort of there was the first moral victory of the Belichick, you know, tenure here was the Sunday night game against the Rams, which reminded me of the Cowboys' performance last night or last week against the Bucks, where you had the greatest show on turf.
24-17 final.
24-17 final. There was a big pick by Wheatley. Was he a cornerback on the team? Anyway, it was a great night, even though they lost, because you showed that you belonged with the elite. And then I believe they didn't lose another game.
They won nine straight to win the Super Bowl
right
after that. So are you saying that's what this team just had?
Every time I talk about that team,
Michael Irvin called it a lose win.
I know I'm a loser. Every time I talk about the team, I get goosebumps. That team was so awesome.
See, it's still in you. So why are you a Bucs fan? It's just embarrassing.
I'm a Tom Brady fan.
So we'll play that Rodney cut coming up. It is Kenny Curtis and your call, 617-779-7937. Basically talking about Belichick's first week. Are the Patriots still a contender? And I think this is an interesting point we got to hammer down on. The investment in the Patriots, ticket prices coming down for that Week 4 game.
Right.
And obviously the investment in the Red Sox has been a major topic this week, so we'll get to that as well.
You're listening to, and we're sorry, the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
And I look at their defensive front seven, which is supposed to be stout, which is really supposed to be the strength of their team. And it was average. It wasn't very good. I just didn't see the consistent pressure. I didn't see him stopping the run. I didn't see those guys flying around. They looked slow. They didn't look really energetic. And this is supposed to be a faster, more athletic defense. I was just really, really stunned by the Patriots front seven.
Yeah, Rodney Harrison this week, not all that impressed with the Patriots defense, which did hold Miami to 17 points. You take that most weeks. Isn't that the barometer, Curtis? I played at Rivers, 17 points or less?
Yeah, that was really our I think we scored 17 points in my 2 years. but Rodney is by far and away the best expatriate national pundit. I think he's honest. He's
certainly
direct.
The most critical of all their star players in the last 20 years.
In my view, if you're never critical, then I can't take what you say seriously because you're just compromised. So the fact that he is critical, but will also, you know, call it like it is. And you always give me a hard time. He was, I don't know, the heart and soul. That was more McGinnis than Brewski.
Everybody says McGinnis, right? Even Ty Law said that this week. He was the
godfather.
The godfather at the door.
But he was he brought an edge to that team that led them to 03 and 04.
Yeah, of course, he wasn't there in 01 yet. But get to the calls here in a second. 617-779-7937. Since we're reminiscing about old times, Texter points out Brady's first start, two pick sixes on Manning in that win. Ty Law had another one. You said Otis Smith. But two of them.
And on the Ty Law, and on the Otis Smith in the video that Tom Curran tweeted out yesterday, Ty Law was this like sensational lead blocker down the sideline. It was that team was great.
Now, Manish Mehta is going to join us at 10 a.m., so in about 5 minutes or so. NFL reporter, no longer covers the Jets, obviously has some insight on that team. He broke a ton of big stories for the New York Daily News in the last 10 years. I think there's some thought that the current GM, Joe Douglas, got him fired.
Right.
And there were plenty of accusations thrown his way that he has denied. But very interesting. So we'll get behind the scenes on that and what it's been like to cover this terrible franchise for the last decade plus. But first, it's Angry Principal Dave, who is off today, of course. Good morning, Principal.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
All right.
Hey, a couple things. Just a kind of a synopsis of week one. I thought it was encouraging. The defense, I think, is going to get better. And if we go 2-2 in the first four, I think that's a good start. The Mac and Brady comparison. Let's just pump the brakes, everybody here. I think they both will start as system quarterbacks, right? So I think Mac is fitting in well to the system, but he's got a long way to go. If he has the Brady intangibles or some of them, I think he has a chance to be really good.
But don't you think, Dave, on the field he looks like Brady? He looks like Brady.
Well, I think he looks like the system, Ken. I think Brady, he fit into the system. Now, what made and makes Brady great is all those intangibles that he brought as he grew as an NFL player. So if he can do that, I think, let's face it. I mean, you can't compare anybody to Brady at this point. But, hey, Curtis, how are you, buddy? I was going to call yesterday, but I didn't want a double whammy. The Price is Right. God, did he get all over you. You okay?
The Price is Right.
Yeah, Price, who called and just ripped you, took you behind the shed yesterday. Are you okay?
Because I didn't know who Jose Andres was. Yeah, I'm doing okay.
Well, no.
And then Wiggy read the wrong Jose Andres. Good.
No, the bigger thing is all your takes. Now, I'm going to go after you on a couple of your takes here. So when you said after week one, you talked about, Brady would have rescued the team after the fumble. Right? Well, Mac didn't have a chance last week because the defense couldn't stop him, right?
Okay, I'd like to reply to each of these. Okay, so that one, sure. Tom Brady, for two decades, covered up flaws of this team and led them to championships. He took a team with Jabbar Gaffney to the AFC Championship with a 21-3 lead before halftime in Indianapolis as his best receiver. It is without question that the Bucs lose that game in week one with the Godwin fumble, if it's most other quarterbacks. But Brady, week one, overcame mistakes, fumbles, and key spots to beat the Cowboys. On Sunday, the Patriots did not.
Because Tom got the ball back, Mac didn't. So that's just another one of your takes. But let me get to this.
So do you disagree with that, Dave? Dave, do you disagree with that Tom Brady for two decades overcame flaws on the roster with his
play? I agree with you. When he had the opportunities, more often than not, he delivered. Mac didn't have an opportunity on Sunday to get the ball back. Let me just get to this because I know you guys got to go to your interview. You know what, Curtis? I'm going to give you a break here. Tom is more insufferable than you are now. This whole thing about 50, when he came out with this the other day, he needs to pump the brakes. Why doesn't he finish a season at 44, 45, 46, 47? Like, he is ridiculous right now. And the other thing I want to say before I got to go, you were all over Lance Armstrong last week, I think it was, mm-hmm. about the mockery he made. Tommy Boy better be careful because it's going to come out. The longer he stays in this, it's going to come out that he's been doing something as well.
Oh, there we go.
Lance Armstrong without the bicycle.
Do you make your students have tinfoil hats in their classrooms, Dave?
All right, we have to go. Sorry about that, Principal. Yeah, we do have Manish Mehta coming up. We'll address that perhaps on in the second hour.
It's quite Tommy, a thing to
Tommy
say.
Tommy and Gronky. And, yeah, it is puke-inducing. Although, I said that was not one of Brady's low moments. The 50-year-old dig, that's a pretty good one. I mean, he deserves to be able to say that.
Fourier said this yesterday. I think he's right. He's done after next year. Like, this isn't...
He's not going to play to 50.
No.
But people were taking that seriously. Seriously breaking it down. Like, could he do it?
What does Tom Brady own?
A
health and wellness company.
Oh, okay.
Who is served by people thinking he's going to play till 50?
Yep, yep.
I mean, the media did his own job. Free advertising.
Did they ever. All right, Manish Mehta, who formerly covered the Jets, now covers the NFL. Get some insight on New York and what happened with him. Did Joe Douglas get him fired, the current GM? We'll talk about that next.